Spring has sprung and you need to celebrate with a new MyPillow. With its patented interlocking fill, you can easily adjust your MyPillow to your individual needs. And now Mike's added brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you more comfortable throughout the night. Plus, MyPillow 2.0 is 50% off with promo code REGULARJOE. There's never been a better time to get the MyPillow 2.0 than right now when it's 50% off. You can also get the extraordinary Giza Dream Sheets starting at just $29.99. Made from the world's best cotton from a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, the Giza Dream Sheets feature a sateen weave, giving them a luxurious finish. We own several sets, and they are fantastic. And you can get them for a limited time at an extremely low price with promo code REGULARJOE. Visit MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE to shop the best deals on MyPillow's complete line of products and get the lowest prices when you use promo code REGULARJOE. Well, hello there and welcome. Joe Giganti, Regular Joe with you here on this Thursday. A couple quick text messages and I'll get back to this article, move over to the phones, do the whole deal. Steve at work said Brandon, meaning, of course, Biden, is just showing everyone when he said pause. That he's so transparent that he'll read everything on the teleprompter. Love the spin. That's very kind of you. It's very diplomatic. It's very unitive of you, Steve. I appreciate you offering that. One of our great listeners out of the ABQ regarding Mike Johnson said, Speaker Johnson reminds me of Tony Romo. Can have wins occasionally, is nice, but will have major errors that he can't bail the team out from. Yeah, no, amen. I think that's a fair analogy. Tony Romo. There's a name I don't hear that much anymore. Tom said, that's why Republicans are starting to disgust me. It started with Boehner and it continues now. We aren't going to do anything because it'll just get vetoed. So what? At least get something out there so people know there is a difference. Tom, I agree. He would argue they did HR 2. And he said that they fought right to the end. I don't know where that fight was. I didn't see them try to attach anything to the Ukrainian funding bill that would have forced the Democrats to choose between Rhino Republicans, billions of dollars to Ukraine, but then they'd have to secure the border. I personally think it would have been a great move. And like you said, if you can't win in the body politic, right? The Democrats know this. Then argue it in the court of public opinion. Get out there and show a clear line difference. Don't give this... That's all we got. So this article I told you about, as threat to remove Speaker Johnson looms, cooler heads should prevail. Now, again, I'm on the record saying I don't think there's any value in removing him right now because then it all but ensures Hakeem Jeffries will be the speaker. The Democrats have de facto control now. But this article from Stephanie Susick says that, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place. We don't have the luxury of getting everything we want in our current situation. How about getting something? Everything we want? I mean, let's set the bar a little higher. And she wrote, that doesn't mean we don't fight hard for certain things, but we have to be realistic in our expectations of what can be done at the moment. She quotes or paraphrases Senator Ron Johnson, saying Senate Democrats abdicated their constitutional duty and did great harm to the U.S. Senate by cavalierly dismissing the serious charges against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, I agree. That's all true, but that doesn't mean you just forget about it and move on. Why aren't we beating the drum of what they did? Make it a big damn deal. That's what they do to us. And then we get the all familiar argument. We have a slim and shrinking majority in the House. Why? Because of mismanagement by the Republican that's in charge of it. He's the one that let Gallagher walk away on the 24th instead of before the second Tuesday in April. She says, thank God we still barely have it. We don't have the governorship, AG, or the Supreme Court in the state. The newly drawn and highly gerrymandered legislative maps have pit many Republican incumbents against each other and forced them to either move, retire, or run in a primary against one another, and we will lose seats in the legislature because of how the maps were drawn. Well, how did we get those maps? This is my problem with all of this. We take the situation that we're in now and pretend like there was no hand by moderate or squishy or rhino status quo Republicans that got us here. We were promised at the end of last year that the state legislature in Wisconsin would fight it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. That was a phone call I received from a high-level member of the assembly when the news broke about the potential of these maps being forced upon us. They weren't going to give up. They weren't going to give in. They rolled right the hell over. They didn't fight at all. Instead, they said, well, now that I look at the maps, I mean, maybe they're not so bad and we can try to make something work. Now, she goes on to say, for those who want to claim that Republicans are not much better than Democrats, believe me, there are a lot of far left policies being held back right now by Republicans having the majority. This is the very similar argument. Robin Voss is the last line of defense, saving Wisconsin from leftist capture. Yeah, okay. Sorry, not buying it. I mean, there's a lot of really good conservatives in the state assembly, in the state senate, that do actually do things. They don't cut backdoor deals. They don't try to destroy the conservatives that are in the senate and in this assembly like Robin Voss does. Then she says we have a lot less leverage right now than we would like. Again, why? This is the question. And I understand we're not supposed to have this argument in public, or we're not allowed to have it in private. Go to a caucus meeting. People are called rabble-rousers. They're being told, sit down, shut up. Your job is whatever we tell you your job is. Well, when will we have this conversation? When will we get off of this merry-go-round of do it again, do it again, do it again, hoping for a different outcome? And I still ask the question, I'd ask Stephanie Susick if she was willing to come on the show. Tell me a time where we moderated ourselves into success. I honest to God would love any Republican to make that argument. You tell me the presidential election, Senate election, gubernatorial election, where we moderated ourselves into success. I'm still waiting. I mean, some fool said, well, Ronald Reagan moderated himself. I can't remember who that was now, but it was embarrassing for them. Now, again, you can't get everything, but why don't we try to get something? Why don't we stop apologizing for what it is we believe in? And why is it, again, we have it from Speaker Johnson, we have it from Stephanie in this article, why is the call to unity always one of moving to the center? When did that benefit us? Well, if we're just going to be Democrat light, oh, not allowed to say that, well, what do you call it? Can we move ourselves into one step away from the Democrat Party in the hopes that people think we're good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, they'll like us enough to vote? Did Donald Trump moderate himself into winning in 2016? I don't think that I would not characterize his 2016 run as a moderate run in any way, shape, or form. He's not running in a moderate fashion right now, and he's got union workers cheering him on the streets of New York City at 6:30 in the morning. You tell me. 888-737-1737. Want to go to the phones? Joel is on the line. Joel that I know well. I'll let you identify yourself however you would like. I don't want to make an assumption. But Joel, I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind? Are you ready to moderate yourself to success?
Well, first of all, Joel, it is a beautiful day out. So the good Lord gave us a beautiful day. So
he does. He does.
Yeah. So I'm the chairman of the Wolfpack County Republican Party, and this topic that you've been talking about with Steph, our vice president of the district, kind of raised my hair up on my back a little bit. There's a big. First of all, the question is why, and you said it before. How did we get here? And from my perspective and several of the other chairs in our district, the tide's changing in our district. There's more and more chairs in our district that are becoming more America First agenda versus this uni-party compromise in the middle. Rhino, I've got to be careful using that word from what I've been told by some other chairs in our district. That's a bad word. Do not use rhino.
Oh, so but, I shouldn't say rhino.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll make a note not to say rhino. I got it.
But I think one of the reasons we're here where we are now is because the Republican Party does not support the base. They don't support the platform. How could any of the congressmen last weekend vote for that when our platform specifically says we do not like increased spending, okay? And how do you go about compromising with the Democrats? There is no compromise. It's just basically okaying what they wanted. I'm in sales and in business, and if I would run my business that way, I'd be out of business. I mean, we've got nothing. That's not compromising. We've got nothing. So we need to start focusing and supporting our base. If the base is happy, everybody's happy.
No, if I may, Joe, because we've done a couple events together. I've been down to you guys have your Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, which has always had excellent turnout. And I just real quick with what you said, because I brought this up earlier, which is rightly so. I hear from some party chairs, they get frustrated. People will say, oh, I'll hold my nose and vote in November because it's not the candidate they wanted out of the primary, that kind of thing. And I understand the frustration because they want all hands on deck. We need it. But I think you hit on a key point, which is, you know, people say the Democrats always rally. Have you ever known the Democrats to smack down their base? I mean, look what they're doing right now with these outrageous protests, these pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic chants and protests. And Joe Biden won't even condemn it because he's so afraid that he'll lose some part of his hardcore base. And yet they tell us, well, the only way we can win is if we snuff out our base.
Right, correct. I mean, another prime example is Easter when Joe Biden, you know, announced
Trans Day.
You know, that wasn't to appease the middle of his party. That was to appease the base. And the base was happy, right? The middle, I mean, to me, if you appease your base, the people that are towards the right, towards the middle more, they're not going to be all upset. I mean, how could they have been upset if we would not approve that spending bill this weekend? Would you think the rhinos would have stood up and said, this is crazy, we should have approved this? I don't think so. You wouldn't hear from the rhinos like you hear from the base, because the base is just sick and tired of, we vote for these people and they go to Washington or to the state capitol and they don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't abide by our party platform, and it's very frustrating. And you know, it's frustrating to see articles like this from our vice chair of the district as well. Close to compromise all the time, but
you brought up the spending bills. I mean, because she says in here, well, we can't always get everything we want. I get it, right? That not everything,
right.
But we just approved three spending bills to secure other countries' borders. The number one and number two issue, and it vacillates which one's number one and which one's number two, but this is across the board, every polling outfit you have in this country, left, right, center, they all come up with the same thing, which is the number one and number two issue are the economy and the border, or the border and the economy. In these spending bills, we are spending billions we don't have to secure other people's borders. We've done nothing to secure our border, and we're doing nothing to secure our spending, that we're not sending ourselves into economic oblivion. Again, like you said, how can they think the base, that's not even the base, that's Democrats, independents, and Republicans are making those the number one and two issue, and yet it's like they refuse to hear it.
Correct. I mean, seriously, do we think that giving Ukraine more money is going to win the war against Russia? Unfortunately, the only way to win a war is to either you negotiate for it, a peace, or you have to go fight. I mean, you can't just throw money at the problem. We know that's not going to solve the problem. It's just very, very frustrating. I think the American people see this. Again, America last, America last. It's not America first in these bills, and it's just so frustrating. For example, there's $10 billion in that bill that was approved for just economic stimulus over right. in Ukraine. I'm a farmer, Joe. And last year, the United States gave Ukraine farmers almost $300 million to support their agricultural business there, which directly competes against the United States farmer. Is that America first? Absolutely not. And it drives our markets down. It's craziness. What's going on? It's craziness.
So, and I appreciate you calling. We ended the rope against the break here, but I appreciate it because I think it's good to have the perspective. Now, if I can, just in the closing of the segment, though, do you view, like you have here, you've brought up, here are our concerns, you're a chair of a party, so you're out there every day fighting to get people elected, you just got you just had a new Republican throw their hat in the ring for a very important assembly seat, which is good, because we need to get rid of the Submariner and actually have a conservative there, which I think is excellent news. So, I mean, you're out doing the work that has to be done. when you hear people pointing out where we can do better, where there's been shortfalls, is your response that, oh, we should just, that means we should give up because we hate each other? Or do you see that as, because again, you work in business, right? You're always being challenged to do better. That's how you grow your business. Why can't we get that mindset in politics?
It's a very good question. I think it's because people don't want to take on the challenge. They're scared that someone's going to be think of them in a bad spotlight. And I don't personally care what people think about me. So I stand for something. And I think that if more Republicans in chairs would just stand up and support our base, we'd grow the party. And I think the whole party would be way happier and we'd get stuff done. But, Joe, just before I leave, I just do want to mention Dwayne Wilson is running against Kevin Peterson for the 57th Assembly. He's got an America First agenda. He's announcing his campaign or his candidacy tonight in Waupaca downtown at the bandstand at 4:30. So if anybody wants to come out and support him, we greatly appreciate it.
And we'll have Dwayne on sometime soon on the show. I think that's excellent news. Joel, I appreciate you calling in. By the way, to your point a moment ago about, you know, you stand for something, you don't worry about what people think. You know, there's someone that's been doing that on the national stage for a couple of years now. His name's Donald Trump, and it's actually been going pretty well for him. Seen those numbers lately? People follow authentic action.
The Regular Joe Radio Show.